Whether you're a fan looking for great wrestling merchandise like t-shirts, decals, DVDs, and signed pictures, or a wrestler looking to increase your brand, SOS Custom Tees is the partner for you. They do all the work and you make all the profit. Why wear someone else's t-shirt when you can wear your own? That's why they're the official provider of all the merchandise for the Double Dropkick Show. Give them a shout, soscustomtees.com. Hello, greetings and salutations to all you great wrestling fans out there. It's Heath Mulliken. I'm with the one and only Boomer Payne. We're on a road, the road to EWF. Back-to-back nights, doubleheader this weekend. Great crowd last night from all reports, including a Hall of Fame induction, the EWF Hall of Fame, but a crowd of over 300, which is in Carolina's independent. Anywhere, that's a great crowd, and should draw even more tonight. Boomer, the big match tonight is you and BB Naturally in the Woman's Scorn match.
Buffalo Bill,
he puts the lotion in the basket. And I'm going to change the subject, but just some thoughts. What are your thoughts on this match tonight?
I don't think Buffalo Bill has the guts to show. I don't think he's man enough. Wait, did I just say that?
He's
man enough? Did I say that?
He has been awfully quiet on social media. And, you know, it's just interesting. You know, I don't know if it means he's focused. I don't know if it means he's
scared. He's felt the right hand before, he. Deadliest right hand in the world.
It is the best right hand in wrestling. It's going to be a sight to behold. But I want to talk to you about Crockett. Let's talk about Jim Crockett Promotions. Let's get your mind on happier times and better things. You grew up in Pittsburgh, obviously. What year did you really start watching Crockett?
85.
So about the same time as you, me, and Mark. We're all, you know, all the same age or whatever.
You, me, and Mark.
You, Mark, and I don't know how
you,
this
Mark, works. And I.
You, Mark, and me.
Me.
Me. Me
started watching Crockett in 85.
Me started... Listen.
Sorry, Southern education.
So when I first started watching, it was interesting because they were still, like, Georgia and Crockett had just kind of, were just in the midst of merging. So there were like a million titles because you still had a Mid-Atlantic champion, you had a TV champion, the national champion, the national tag team champions, and the world tag team champions. But who, like, so I remember, like, Telly Blanchard being TV champion and him and Wahoo McDaniel were doing this thing where they were watching each other's backs. But, like, what were some of the things like that that you just, because that was pre-Four Horsemen. So what was the thing pre-Four Horsemen that kind of pulled you in?
The Ivan Koloff turning on Don Cornu.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yes, that's what hooked me to Crockett.
That was absolutely amazing, because it was such a Crockett and Koloff. I mean, Carnoodle and Koloff. That's a whole episode. Because that's such an underrated.
Forget that.
Right.
Forget that.
Because that's when they brought in Nikita.
Yes.
Do
you remember the turn on Thunderbolt Patterson?
I think I do.
That might have been Georgia, though, and maybe not so much.
Was that Ole turning on?
Ole yeah. Horn, yes.
I think I do remember that. See, I didn't get TBS, so I didn't get to see all that. So I was only getting Mid-Atlantic. But I remember Koloff and Carnoodle were the tag champions, lost to Dusty Rhodes and Manny Fernandez, and then, you know, Koloff. That was great. Because what I loved about that and what I loved about Crockett is they would do those injury angles all
yes.
the time.
Yes.
And literally, Carnoodle was never the same after that. Like his career.
Right. But like, I think he was on his way out anyway.
No, yeah.
They tried to rejuvenate him in Rocky.
Right.
Rocky.
But I don't remember. I just remember them attacking Carnoodle. I don't remember a payoff to that. I don't remember like him getting. I know they may probably did a match, him and Ivan. But yeah, that was leading up to Starrcade 85. Because I've often wondered why, you know, Dusty Rhodes is half of the world tag team champions, but he's getting this world title shot. And who did Medina, who Manny Fernandez?
In 85. Wrestled
at Starrcade. I think it was, Black Bart for the brass knuckle or the tape fist championship? I just remember it was short and bloody.
Black Bart. Yeah, I really got into the Crockett 86. One of the very first tapes that I had purchased was Starrcade 86. I know that was frontwards and backwards.
Yes.
And Paul Jones versus Jimmy Valiant. Hair versus hair.
Yes. And that was the one where, I was there Greenville Monday night when the weekend before Dusty had won the belt in Greensboro and they had shaved Jimmy Valiant's head. And like, it was just, that place was electric that night. That's when everybody had everybody goes back, well, Attitude Era this, and everybody had a storyline. No, Crockett, everybody had a storyline, man. Jimmy Valiant versus Paul Jones's army. You had, you know, always had something going on with the tag team titles.
Ricky and Robert.
Ricky
Midnight, yeah.
Here
was an angle, and let's see if you remember this. And I'm going to say that it was probably late 85, early 86, where Tully Blanchard is the national champion.
Yeah.
Ronnie Garvin is wrestling for the title.
Yes.
On TV. TV time remaining. But Ronnie Garvin cannot use the tape fist.
Yes. Yes.
And Dusty comes out, tapes his fist up, he knocks Blanchard out, place goes nuts, and they disqualify Ronnie Garvin.
I think I do remember that, man. Do you remember, this would have been 86, Magnum TA and Ronnie Garvin were in the Crockett Cup.
The Crockett Cup.
Made it to the finals, and then they did a deal where Garvin had broken his hand, and that was how, you know, the Road Warriors ended up beating them. I finally got to see, you know, I had only seen highlights of that tournament, and I don't know anywhere that there exists footage of the full tournament, because the video that Crockett put out is just bits and pieces of different things.
I had the entire first Crockett.
What?
Matches, yes. At one point, I don't know how I got it. It was probably tape trading.
Right.
But I was absolutely ecstatic to see the Battens. The Battens win, Brad and Bart. Only because I had worked with them back in 96.
Oh, gotcha,
yeah.
Okay.
So I thought I was making it in 96.
That's right.
David not making it.
I remember the Crockett Cup, I remember them doing the seedings. I remember scratching my head as to, well, why are your world tag team champions not the top seed? They would do these, the press conferences, even the press conference for Starrcade 83 was just incredible. But it was just all these little things that you just don't see anymore. Like, they had it like every city in America was bidding on Starrcade 83 like it was the Super Bowl.
It was the Super Bowl.
But this is true.
So, okay, speaking of Crockett.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Crockett Starrcade or Vince's WrestleMania?
Here's the thing.
Uh,
Here, to me, this is why Crockett and everybody, well, especially Crockett, they never had just that one guy who was the final say, who wasn't a worker. Fence was always the final say. And, like, he never had, like, he could put his own feelings aside. He's like, what's best for business? So I don't know how to answer that question.
You figure with WrestleMania, you've got all the bells and whistles. You've got all the celebrity hype.
Right.
It basically is the Super Bowl of wrestling.
Right.
But with Starrcade, not so many bells and whistles, but at the same time, had better storylines. Everybody had a storyline.
Right.
Every match meant something, whereas WrestleMania really didn't.
No, I 100% agree with you. Starrcade was about... Starrcade, you ended blood feuds. And I don't know that... Has WWE ever really had a blood feud? You know what I mean? Like, man, the only way to settle this is in a cage at Starrcade.
Foley Triple H. Of course, that wasn't Mania.
I mean, that's a good question. That's a really good question. Would Starrcade? Why can't you? Could you have both? Could you combine the majesty of WrestleMania and have the grit of Starrcade?
Like, that would be the ultimate pay-per-view.
Is that even possible?
I think you could do it. Brain hurts now, doesn't it?
It does, man. Just, you know, trying to imagine that. And I remember, I want to say it was Starrcade 85. One of our teachers went, and we were just like, what happened? Tell us what happened. He's trying to explain to us what happened. And my brain is just trying to compute, you know, okay, Dusty pinned him, but he's not the champion. How is that possible? Magnum TA almost took out Telly Blanchard's eye. What? He broke a chair, you know, just like, you know, does wrestling still make kids feel like that, you know?
Nowadays, no. You know what makes kids feel like that? Tide Pods.
Dude, what if you got a dude, instead of like the green mist, Greg Clooney, he gets a Tide Pod? Copyright. I don't want to see anybody using that idea.
The storylines were so much better in Crockett.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So, the styles were just so different.
Yeah.
And being that I trained up north, worked up north for many years, and then coming to the south, I've learned so much about actual wrestling.
Right, right.
I mean, I still haven't figured out how to get over.
No.
Still haven't figured out how to draw money, but I have learned I prefer the Southern style.
Yeah, so how would your career have been different?
Starting here and going there?
Yeah, if you had just started here.
I don't think I'd be in the shape that I'm in now. I'd still be round, but what I'm saying is,
yeah,
physically, I don't think that I would have had nearly as many concussions, surgeries,
right,
backlash.
Because it's always seemed to me that Pennsylvania crowd is bloodthirsty, they're but in a different way
they're
than
brutal.
Down here.
They will call you out if you pull a punch. They will tell you.
So
They'll start chanting contact, please.
So how did they get from Bruno Sammartino to that?
ECW.
Oh.
Yeah. So you got the Pittsburgh-Philly rivalry.
Right.
You have ECW that catches fire in 95, 96.
Right as you're starting.
Right as I'm getting in.
Yeah.
But it was weird because as I was starting, we did a lot of shows in West Virginia, which was such a good break for me because it was more of the Southern style.
Right, right.
You didn't have to, but fast forward 2-3 years later, you're taking that Pittsburgh style, implementing it into the Southern style because you have to stay one step ahead of everybody.
Yeah.
You can't go out there. Not everybody can go out there and work hard for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So you implement because you're trying to be different. So you, try to get that edge. And the Southern style, and being young and naive and dumb and not realizing that, hey, you can go out there and work hard. That's what wrestling is.
Yeah.
That's what the art form is.
Yeah.
Anybody can go out there and blood and guts.
Right, right.
I mean, I've said it a million times. You can teach a monkey to do moves, but that doesn't make him a wrestler.
Right.
There has to be psychology.
Yeah.
You want to know the biggest transition I had here, the most difficult transition I had, was false finishes.
Okay.
When I first got here, I said, oh man, this crowd's going to be so easy. They'll eat these false finishes up.
Yeah.
And it took me months to get that over. Months. And I remember the match that it actually had, we did a false finish and the place bit. And I was, oh, finally.
Yeah, yeah.
They finally get what's going on here. You got to book the dumbest person in the crowd.
Yeah.
And that's not ripping the Southern people. But
that's everywhere you go.
Yeah. I mean, if you have to, it's just like in comedy. If you have to explain the punchline, then maybe you should water it down a little bit.
Right, right. And I really think, you know, every company, when they've been at their best, like the Attitude Era was all about, you don't have to explain, everybody hates their boss. And Steve Austin versus Vince McMahon, you don't have to diagram that on a whiteboard. Everybody gets that, you know.
The Attitude Era was phenomenal. Like,
yeah.
That was the last hurrah of really good entertainment. I wouldn't say wrestling, right, but entertainment.
Yes, no, yeah, I agree.
But again, I mean, you and I have had this discussion before. The people this day and age, on a Saturday night, they're going to binge watch Walking Dead.
Yeah.
They're not, it's hard to get them off the couch.
Yeah, there's so many different, now you got this thing called Movie Pass, which I'm a member, $10 a month. You can see a movie every day. People could literally spend $10 and go to a movie Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night if they wanted to. So there's like a million entertainment options, and I feel like, to me, what you guys are doing right now at EWF is just remarkable in this day and age because of the numbers you're pulling in. And I think it is. It's very much people are invested in who they hate and who they like, you know, as we'll see tonight.
I've made the comparison before. The EWF crowd gives you that whole, I mean, I wasn't around on a Crockett day.
Yeah.
But it gives you that Crockett feel. It really does. And that's when, to me, that was the golden era of wrestling.
Yes.
80s.
Yes.
Of course, I'm an 80s prodigy.
Me too.
I mean, now, you want to hear a funny story?
A
shorty.
Yeah.
Bought a Rubik's Cube.
Uh-huh.
Has me mess it up.
Yeah.
Well, I try to fix it.
Yeah.
I can't do it. She should give it here. 3 minutes later, it's solved. I'm like, now how in the world did you do that? Oh, I have an app.
Yeah.
I punch in what the colors look like and tells me the moves to make. I'm like, what? Then why do it?
Yeah.
I mean, she does not know the struggles of peeling stickers off.
That's right. Oh, man. So my son had a totally off subject. My son had a Rubik's Cube. He took it apart, trying to put it. And I have spent at various times, like they wanted to throw it away. I'm like, no. Eventually, I'm going to get this thing put back together. But I'm not figuring it out, too. I've done YouTube videos. I cannot get it back together. But
this day and age. And see, it's important for me to get my shorty. Like, she's obviously in the WWE.
Yeah.
Right? And I keep trying to tell her that's not wrestling. That's entertainment.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So it's important for me to get her into the Crockett stuff, the Mid-Atlantic stuff, you know. That's why this is the third time I've done this.
Going the wrong way.
Yeah. You would think as often as we get to this building. But it's a bit like, that's why I have the network. Not for the current product. It's for the classic stuff. Old AWA stuff.
Brian says, NWA 85, best territory. Yeah, back in there, mid-80s. But I've been going back, wanting to, you know, on the network now, you got 81 Mid-Atlantic, and that's some great stuff.
Yeah, I think I told you a couple weeks ago, I hit up the Mid-Atlantic, what, 82, 83?
Yeah.
83, with Piper and Briscoe.
Yes, yes.
That's all stuff that's like all new to me. I'm like a kid again.
Yeah, I missed all that. And I'm telling you, people that don't know, and this, I include myself in this. If you only know Piper for his WWE, WCW stuff, his Portland and hit that early Mid-Atlantic, oh my goodness. I just watched the other day, Ole Anderson came out and cut a promo on Piper. And I don't know what had happened, but Ole Anderson, how underrated is that guy? He stands with his back to the hard camera every time he cuts a promo. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure he's doing this on purpose.
Yeah, the old, and being that I grew up north, and, you know, my first introduction was WWF.
Yeah.
I still say Crockett was the best era.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was because as you get older, you look at WWF as kind of kiddie stuff.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's for kids, not. Which it was. But the Crockett era, it just meant more.
I agree. Yeah.
You felt vested. And when the heel cheated his way out, you felt cheated.
Yes. Yes.
And I cheered for the heels. And I still felt cheated.
Yeah, but like when you're pulling for the heels and you feel bad.
Yeah.
Man, they really shouldn't have done that. Man,
come on. Come on, Dusty. Get your shot.
So, 85, as we know, Saturday Night's Main Event comes out. That's the first time I ever saw a WWE show, WWF. And I remember staying up and watching that, and I just rewatched it on the network. And as someone who had only seen Crockett, I was blown away by the music. I was blown away by the production. I was blown away by the characters. I mean, they were larger. Like, I already considered Crockett larger than life. But WWF was like larger. Life.
And bells and whistles.
Yeah, and it was completely different. But at the same time that I liked them both, I did feel, you know what, you gotta pick. And Mark and I have gone, you know, whenever we would do fantasy booking in high school, he would lean, you know, he had just seen more WWF than me. And he would lean more, you know, toward those guys sometimes, even though he watched just as much Crockett as anybody.
Well, it wasn't like the WWF didn't have characters that you could be vested with.
Yeah.
I mean, how could you not love Savage and Miss Elizabeth?
Oh.
I mean, I think she was every analyst fantasy.
Yes. Yes.
So you were vested in Savage, and anybody that says, "Oh, I never liked Hogan," liar.
Oh yeah.
Loved Piper, loved Snuka. Here's the thing, and I think you and Mark talked about it, about Snuka not being in the main event at WrestleMania.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the thing that's missing today. Is it doesn't matter who's on top drawing the money, as long as you're drawing money.
Yes. That's so true. That's so true.
I mean, if tonight the people come in and they're buying the ticket to see Chase Lovelace, then by God, thanks Chase for giving us great housework in front of, and yes, we're drawing money. Don't, yes, care who it is.
Yes.
But this day and age, everyone's so worried about being on top, and you got to do what's best for business. And I struggle with that. Being a booker, being on the internet.
Right.
I've always said the best bookers are non-workers.
Yeah. And you've said to me many times, you want the ball in the fourth quarter.
I do.
You like that pressure, and you don't ever trust anybody more than yourself. So
it's like a match.
I want to keep going sideways. What is going on?
What do you call a ball sitting sideways?
Okay, now that's over my head.
I like being in control. I like calling, because if I make a wrong call, I got nobody to blame but myself.
Right. Right. Son of a motherless goat. I got it. Something's wrong with this magnet. All right, there we go. Now we got it.
Oh, it took him 32 minutes to figure it out.
Listen. Yeah, but I've seen that in different promotions where just like there was in any of the decisions, it was like, is this going to draw people? Is this going to make money? Like, that's not even in the conversation. It's like, oh, this will be cool, or I like this guy. And it's like, no, this isn't. And I had to learn that, because I was very guilty of not thinking, you got to think bottom line.
Do you remember a conversation we had at Steak and Shake after the last three count show in November?
I mean, I remember us having a really in-depth conversation. I don't remember the particular details.
About the booking for that night, where they put Austin over in his home crowd.
Yes, yes.
And I said, why wouldn't you screw him?
Right, screw him over.
People to call, yeah, people into your big show of the year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why are so many people afraid to... That's what gets people vested. They want to see that heel... Get what's coming to him.
Yeah.
They want to see that.
Yeah.
And you got to keep that carrot dangling, and they keep chasing it, but they never catch it. You still got to have the big payoff.
Yes.
But you can't have a payoff every show.
See, I mean, I think you're right, and I think hindsight, of course, everything worked out okay, because the, you know, December show got, you know, snowed out or whatever, but I do think I think we were scared. We were scared to screw him over in his hometown, which that's, you guys learned last night. Well, we'll know tonight.
We will know if you see unfamiliar faces in the crowd.
Yeah.
Whether or not we did the right call last night. And not every call, you know, and know this makes me sound arrogant. I know I don't know everything.
Yeah.
I don't try to pretend. But there's been a formula in wrestling for over a century.
Yes.
Why try to change that? Embrace it. Love it. It's worked for 100+ years.
Yeah.
That's why you have baby faces in you. You don't do what's cool. You do what's going to draw money.
Yeah. Yeah.
If drawing money means me going out there in a tutu, oiling myself up, thinking I'm a little teapot, by God, that's what you do to draw money. That would be insane.
I want to see that as a stipulation. The loser wears a tutu. I want to do... You need to do the deal where, like, somebody has to, like, be a farmhand. No one does that anymore. You remember when Baby Doll had to be Dusty's... And she rode off on the horse? She done stole your horse!
We don't have farms anymore.
Hey, I have a farm.
Do you really?
I mean, we don't have a horse. I mean, my family has a farm.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah.
I need to go.
We got a big old pond, and you can go there and throw the belt in the pond. And
it's what is going to draw those people back in? People get vested.
Yeah. How do you convince... You know, people that have not watched wrestling in 30 years, that this wrestling that they can come to locally will make them feel the way they felt 30 years ago. Like, how do you...
You look like it was 30 years ago.
I totally agree. And I also feel like it's the way you talk about it. So when I am doing commentary and when I am doing the South Carolina Pro Wrestling Report, I try to talk about it like it's 30. I try to talk about if somebody does something bad, I mean, I talk about how heinous it is and how ridiculous it is. And I mean, I try to, and if somebody does something heroic, I try to, you know, that to me is, it's all about good and evil. Because all that middle stuff, there's, you got to make people choose. It doesn't matter which one they choose as long as they buy a ticket.
Right. Right. I think we're doing that here.
Yes.
I think people really and truly are vested in the product that's in front of them. And that was evident the last show at the Army 2 weeks ago where the ring broke and nobody complained.
Right.
Nobody got up and walked out.
None.
In fact, we had more people coming in as we were fixing the ring.
Yeah, yeah.
Characters that they can relate to. That's what Crockett was. You couldn't relate to Hogan.
No.
Because not everybody's 6'8".
Tan
and beach blonde hair.
I mean, I trained, said my prayers, and took my vitamins. Okay. I said my prayer, took my vitamins. I did not train. But, like, I got no chance of being Hulk Hogan. I can be Dusty Rhodes. I can have the drive. Because he was every man. He gave everybody hope.
Right.
He came up out of the ditch at 6 years old. And became so sweet.
Son of a plumber. So, think about this. You said earlier that the Attitude Era, everyone can relate to Austin because everyone hates their boss. Right?
Rick Regano says, can I pull over? Can we pull over? He needs to use the restroom. Alright, sorry. Got distracted.
Number one or number two? So you made the comparison that everybody could relate to Austin because everybody hates their boss.
Yeah.
And that was almost 10 years where everybody could relate to Dustin.
Yeah.
right? So the formula is there.
Yeah.
They just put a spin on it.
No, this is true.
They put a spin on it. I was on Facebook. I tried not to go on there. But someone had posted this big, long sequence of cartwheels and flips. And it's just this big, long sequence, and then they stare off at each other.
Right.
And I said to myself, why not just tell everybody, hey, we worked this out in the back.
Yeah. And
we made it happen without messing up.
Yeah.
That's not wrestling. A monkey could do that. And I don't understand the crowd's popping for it. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
What's the art in that? What's the art of telling the people, hey, we practiced this in the back?
Right.
There's no art for it.
But I think something like that, I have seen stuff like that done in front of an older Southern crowd, and they don't know how to react. They're like, what are we supposed to do here? Y'all are just looking at each other. Well, you didn't pay to watch y'all stare at each other. We want y'all to fight.
Right.
And see, to me, in Crockett, that would have never happened, because everybody that was wrestling, they got a reason to be in there. I was at a show, and it was a tag team match. This is just like a month or so ago, down in Georgia. And two of the guys involved in the match had thrown fire at each other, like, within the last month. So they get in the match. When they finally get in the ring together, do you know what they did? They locked up. And I'm like, this guy just threw a fireball at you. Like, you've been selling that you guys are Hatfields and McCoys. Like, this is a blood feud. And you're going to lock, like they even did the, you know, they even walked around the ring. Walked around in the ring before that. And I'm like, no. Like, you need to just, like, push the ref out of the way and just jump on somebody. And I didn't get that. I didn't feel that.
Back to the comparison of 80s WWF and Crockett. To me, to be in Crockett, you had to be tough. You had to be a badass. Yes.
Yeah, no, right.
It was more of a show for WWF.
Yeah.
You could be a weakling and still perform. Does that make any sense?
No, it does. Yeah, absolutely.
Crockett made me believe these guys are tough. And you had to be. I mean, Ron Bass, Black Bart,
yeah.
Abdul the Butcher.
The Barbarian.
Barbarian.
Manny Fernandez.
Barbarian, one of the toughest guys in the business.
Right.
And spent the better part of the late 80s in WWF.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, I remember when the Warlord debuted. I want to say that was 86, because that was during the Rock and Roll Express Super Summer Sizzler Tour. Maybe that was, I don't know, it was in that era. Maybe that was 87. But when they did the Powers of Pain, that's brilliant. Why not put the Barbarian and the Warlord together and give them Paul Jones, and you have got, for the first time in history, a team that's like, oh my goodness, can the Road Warriors beat them? Like,
right.
It
was a legitimate threat to beating the Road Warriors.
Yeah, yeah. And I thought the deal when they broke Animal's orbital bone, brilliant. Of course they're not going to let them beat them in a weightlifting competition.
So here's the question with the Road Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Were they good for the business or bad for the business?
They were good for their business. That's a really good... I mean, There are guys.
But with that statement there, though, they drew money.
Yeah, there are guys that made more money because of the Road Warriors. There are guys that in their career made more money because of the Road Warriors than if the Road Warriors had not been.
I think it's the greatest tag team of all time.
That used to be my pretty quick answer. But then I got this guy, Mark Whitman, in my head, and he gets me thinking about other things. You know, he's got me thinking Arn and Tully's right there. And I do think I think the Road Warriors, I mean, there's never going to be, obviously understatement of the year, I mean, never going to be another team like them. That was so dominant everywhere they went.
Drew money everywhere they went.
Yes. Main evented everywhere they went. That was what was so great about the Crockett at that time. Is you had the Road Warriors doing their thing. And you still had Rock and Roll Express and Midnight Express.
Tearing it up every night.
You had whatever your taste was, you had it in Crockett.
Okay. Hawk gets a heavyweight title shot at Ric Flair.
Yes.
As a kid, go back to 86, 87.
Uh-huh.
Hawk gets a shot at Ric Flair. Ric Flair, considered one of the greatest of all time.
Right.
There's not a doubt in your mind, Road Warrior Hawk's winning this title.
Yes.
There's no way, even with outside interference.
I think Hawk and Animal both got singles during the Bash 86.
Yeah,
when they went, they did the ever how many shows in 30 days. I think Animal and Hawk both got shots. Robert Gibson got a shot. Morton got a shot. One of those, the match with Ricky Morton during that month, it's on all the Flair DVDs.
That was in Charlotte, wasn't it?
I believe so.
And that's where Flair got flown in from the helicopter?
I believe.
That's what hooked the Bryce.
Oh, gotcha.
That's the magic. See, I'm so unlike everybody else.
Yeah.
When you say, what got you into professional wrestling,
right,
it wasn't a match, it wasn't a character, it wasn't a wrestler, it wasn't a female.
I love this story.
It was me holding an elevator in a hotel for Tully Blanchard, who has a beautiful woman on each side of him.
Yeah.
And I hold the elevator open for him. He gets in, and in my adolescent mind, I know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
They're not going up to play Scrabble. And he gave me the Vorsman sign, and that's when I knew. That's what I wanted to do in my life.
And you're going to get a chance to do it tonight? Did you ever, as a young boy, watching telly, did you ever think, man, one day I'm going to have 20 angry women slinging leather at me?
See, my, you know, the goal was to have a woman on each side going up to the hotel room, right? Now I've got 20 she-males. Well, we'll see if it draws money.
Yeah, listen, you know, in all honesty, you guys watching this, I think this is maybe 6 weeks in the making since Bunkhouse Brawl. So I'm like genuinely, I'm little kid excited tonight for this. And
me, I'm not so much.
No. We may be in different seats. I may have to drive home. Hey, thanks for all your support. Thanks for watching. We're going to go do this
thing. Become a patron.
Become a patron. DoubleDropKick.com. No. Yeah. Patreon.com/DoubleDropKick. I don't even remember. All right.
Heath Mulligan and Mark Whitman. We're here at the SOS Custom Tees Control Center. We're going to tell you about some of the great action coming up. Mark, first of all, that's a great unbookable shirt.
Hey, thanks, man. I'm unbookable. You're unbookable. Hey, you can be unbookable, too.
That's right.
Let the world know that you're unbookable.
SOScustomTees.com. You can get T-shirts, memorabilia, decals. If you're a wrestler out there, hey, why wear somebody else's shirt? Wear your shirt. A shirt with your name and your face on it right here at SOScustomTees.com.
If you're a podcaster,
that's right.
You could go to SOS Custom Tees. They'll hook up. What we just happened to have, the Double Dropkick Show SOS Custom Tees store pulled up right here.
And Mark, what happens if people buy a shirt?
I'll give you a call. give you 10 minutes. We can talk about anything you want to.
So, that's something.
If you know, if you listen to our show, you'll realize I don't like any of you.
No.
So, if you, that's the only way you're ever going to get in a conversation with me is to buy a t-shirt.
The great thing is, fans, you don't have to wait to a certain date. You don't have to wait for tickets to go on sale right now. SOScustomTees.com. Change your life and become part of the movement that is changing professional wrestling.